Spider-Data 208 and Dr. Springer.
Good morning to you all. Good Chodesh. It is a momentous day for a number of reasons which I'd like to enumerate before we go on to our main theme. So the first of Nisan is a very significant day in our calendar for obvious reasons, because it contains the Yom Tov of Pesach. But in fact, Chazal tell us that what Nisan ushers in is a whole season of Geula. Rav Elia Lapin puts it this way in one of his Shiurim. He says that there are seasons for everything, and his moshel is the clothes trade, for example. They have seasons, winter, summer, etc., and the manufacturers have got to be ready in time to distribute their wares to the right outlets so that they can sell their stuff, and they've got to actually make them in advance. And if you miss the boat, then actually you've missed until next year. So it says that all seasons are like this. We've got a season of Tishri, we've got a season of Nisan, which we're talking about, which is Geula. So the whole month is a season of Geula. But there's a bit more to it than that. Because when we sit down at the Seder, the Haggadah tells us the following drush. Yochoel mirash chodesh. Talmud loyme b'yom mahu. What does that mean? Yochoel mirash chodesh means that I might have thought, or had a havamina, that we should start doing Sipiyot Tzias Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. That's today. Talmud Loimer, the Torah says, no, not that. B'yomahu, on the day that we got Matzah and Moroi Menachem Lepanecha, that's the mitzvah of Sipiyot Tzias Mitzrayim, but not sooner. Now, the question is, well, why should we have thought that, or had this havamina only to be dispelled, why should we have thought that we should start Sipiyot Tzias Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh? Well, the fact is that the Torah that we lined on Shabbos, this parasha we lined on Shabbos, HaChodesh Yoseh Lachem, Rosh Chodoshim, we'll talk about in a moment, factor is that that was the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael. Actually, was given to Beis Din, and obviously it affects the whole of Klal Yisrael. But in the very next psukim, we have the halachas and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So the Torah joins on this Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Yoseh Lachem, with the ideas of Korban Pesach, and therefore we might have had a legitimate havamina that we should, you know, do the Pesach thing from Rosh Chodesh onwards. For that, the Torah says that no, b'yoy mahu. So that's the first thing about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's got a very, very illustrious idea attached to it. Second thing is that, already mentioned, that Beis Din are instructed to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. It's a special responsibility of the Beis Din, and the way Chazal put that is that they are given the power to be Mekadesh Zman. Yidden have got the power to be Mekadesh Zman, and we know that we've got the power to be Mekadesh Mokoim, for example, at the Beis HaMikdash, but also Zman. So we are the instruments who fix when the Yom Tov should be, not Shabbos. That's done automatically, that's done, it's a Rusat de Leilo, and we have no control over that at all. But Yom Tov, and we do, whether it's the fixing the day of Rosh Chodesh, or whether it should be an Ibayor or not an Ibayor. Now nowadays, of course, we look at the calendar to see whether it's an Ibayor. But in fact, in the olden days, they had a tremendous amount of flexibility. If you see any of the Gemaras about Ibayor, they used to look around and see whether the season was coming or not, and make decisions based on the environment and lots of different considerations. So the Beis Din had enormous power over our calendar. And that is the fixing of Yom Tov. And as we know, the Rabbi Neshama says, you fix the Yom Tov, and whenever you do that, I will come to meet you at the time that you designate. So we can be Mekadesh Zman. Perhaps it's a theme we'll return to later. The third idea, which is related to Rosh Chodesh, is that on this day, on Rosh Chodesh, second Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the second year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the first Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're talking about this Rosh Chodesh, when the Torah says, HaChodesh Zeh Lachem, that's still in Mitzrayim. And then what follows a year later is Hukam HaMishkan. The Mishkan was set up, and what happened there was that there were 7 days of Miluim. 7 days of Miluim, where Moshe Rabbeinu acted as Kohen Gadol, and Aaron only took over on the 8th day, B'yom HaShmini. That's the 8th day, and B'yom HaShmini, Rashi tells us, is actually Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Nissan in the second year, 1 year's gone by. And interestingly enough, what happened during that time, the Torah tells us itself, and it says, Vayovoi Moshe v'Aaron Elohim Moed, Vayetsu v'yivorchu esa om, Vayeiro k'void Hashem el kol ha'om. That's when the Shekhinah came down. We'll have a Rashi in a moment that tells us the whole story. Vateitse eish milifnei Hashem, Vatoichel al hamizbeach, Esa oilo v'esa chalovim, Vayar ha'om, kol ha'om, Vayoroinu. They were mahalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, you can translate that as they got very excited. Vayipla al paneim. So we have the story in the Torah about these Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, those 7 days that preceded the Rosh Chodesh number 2, Rosh Chodesh Nissan number 2. And Rashi tells us that when Moshe and Aaron came and blessed the people, what did he do? Omru vayhi noyam, vihi noyam, Hashem elakeinu oleinu, presumably the rest of the pasuk as well, it's Tehillim Tzadi. And he said, Yehi rotzoin shetishre shchino b'masa yedechem. So he gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael that the Shechina should be involved in Maaseh Yedechem, should come down, a fee. Shekol Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Shemidu Moshe LeMishkon. That all the 7 days when Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the works, as far as the Mishkon is concerned, B'shimish Boi Paraklim Kol HaYoyim, he dealt with every day's activities in relation to the Mishkon. Loi Shor Seboi Shechina. The Shechina didn't arrive. And the Yidden were getting upset. They were complaining. They said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, kol ha-toyrach she-torachnu, all the work that you've done for us, all the efforts that you've put in for us, she-tishre shechina b'neinu, that the shechina should be among us. And it's not here. V'neida she-nechapelon avoyno egel. And when the shechina comes back, we would know that we've got kapora for the egel. Lekach omar lohem zeh adova asher tziva Hashem tasu vayero aleichem kvoid Hashem. That therefore he said that I give you a brocha that the kvoid Hashem should descend upon you. Aaron ochi kudai v'choshu b'menu, he is greater than I in some ways. Shal yidei korbanosov of avedosoi tishrei shechina chem teidu shemokam bochaboy. And then the Shechina came down on that 8th day. So we have another reason to talk about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because that's the day Shehukam HaMishkon, and that's the day the Shechina returned to Klal Yisrael, and the excitement arose that they had got kapora for the Egel. Remember that everything was already ready on the 25th of Kislev, which was a couple of months before then. 25th of Kislev, all the material was already arranged, and we waited until the 1st of Nisan, in order to erect the Mishkan. So that is the history of this day, second year of the Midbar. And then, of course, we've got a fourth idea for Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Today is the day you can start saying the bracha on Ilonois. And so we have a number of things.
Am I not recording?
No. Yeah, well, no, it just came out.
Maybe you could hear me.
There you are.
So, when we're talking about Nissan, obviously our thoughts turn to Pesach, and there is something very special that the Torah tells us about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We call it Yitzias Mitzrayim. We could call it by other names as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, this is after the conversation in Shemois, where Moshe complains that things didn't go too well. V'gamani shemati es nakas b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim ma'avidim oisom. V'esko es brisi, the Baruch Hashem says, I hear and I remembered my bris. Lochein emoy livnei Yisrael, ani Hashem. And here we get the four l'shoine ge'ulo. Number one, v'yitzesi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. And I will extract you from under the sivlois, the burden of Mitzrayim. That's Loshen number one. V'yitzalti eschem mi'avodoson, and I will rescue you from their work.
And I will redeem you with these great miracles. And finally, the fourth one is, V'lokachti eschem li la'om, V'yisi lochem le'elokim. There's a bit more to the posuk. V'yadatim ki ani Hashem elokecha, Moitzi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. I will just remark that we have this word sivlois in these four Lashon HaGeula mentioned twice. In the first one we have Hoitzeisi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim, and there the word sivlois is spelt without a vav. It's just got a cholim. When we come to the last one, which is V'lokachti, then we have sivlois again, just read it, and there we have sivlois with a vav. So there's got to be some significance about that. But the fact is that Chazal tell us that although we call it the four Lashoine Geula, you could look at it as four different types of Geula. Each has a different dimension to it. And the fact is that it has got relevance to our daily lives, and when we're remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we need to do on a daily basis, we should invoke the four Lashon HaGeula. We should invoke the fact that the Rabbeinu Shem redeemed us in these four different ways. And there's a Rashi in Parshas Shlach which tells us the connection. Rashi says in Parshas Shlach Lecha, and as you know, at the end of Shlach Lecha there is the Parsha of Tzitzis. One of the psukim is Al Kanfei Bigdeihem. Says Rashi, what's Al Kanfei Bigdeihem? Keneged V'eso Eschem Al Kanfei Neshorim. So Rashi marries together the two words Kanfei, Kanfei Neshorim, Kanfei Bigdeihem, Al Arba Kanfois. V'loi Balas Sholosh, not a beged with three corners. V'loi Balas Chomesh, not a beged with five corners. Keneged Arba Lashoines Shil Geula, but it's Dafka four. And it's keneged the larba l'shoynes shegula shenemba b'Mitzrayim v'itzesi v'itzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti. So Rashi has told us that when we wear tzitzis, actually at the back of our minds are the four l'shoyne geula, which is very interesting. That means it's not just a Pesach story; it's something that permeates our lives every single day. And this is really quite interesting in its own right. So every day a person wearing tzitzis should invoke these four lashoinus, as we've just mentioned, v'yisesiv yitzalti v'galtu, yeah? And so these are mentioned in Vo'eiro, and the question is, why is it relevant to, and what is the connection to tzitzis that Rashi makes? There's a Tosfos in Arvei Psochim, and he tells us why we need the four lashoine geula. And he tells us that in Kiddush, there is a man, de Omar, Rav Acha B'Yaakov, that we say, Techila Lemasa Bereshis, and Techila Lemikroi Kodesh, Techila Lemikroi Kodesh, it's the first of the Yom Tovim, Zecha Litzias Mitzrayim. So we actually mention Tzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush of Shabbos. And that's a chiyuv, that we mention Tzias Mitzrayim. And Tosfos explains to us there why the words of Zecha Tzias Mitzrayim are there, and they are connected with another word that we are familiar with in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is Beforech. Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael Beforech. And traditionally we translated that word Beforech as with rigor. Yeah, and I'm not sure as children we knew what that meant, but that's what we were taught, right, with rigor. And we're told that in fact Beforech means to perach is to crumble something, back-breaking work, very, very hard work. That's how the Mitzrayim treated the B'nai Yisrael. And in Arei Psochim, Tosfos says, Lekach kovu zecher tzias Mitzrayim, to be mekayim the shita, that we should have it as part of Kiddush. Lefi shebe Mitzrayim ovdu Beforech, because Mitzrayim worked Klal Yisrael Beforech, with, if I may use that word, rigor. The Gav Shemati, we just read the Posuk, and Tosfos says something very interesting. You know that there is a system, everybody knows about Gematria. The Gematria is a system of numerical system where every letter has a number and therefore words have a numerical value. But there's another system called Atbash. The Atbash system is that if you list the letters, the first 11 letters of the Hebrew alphabet on one side, and in parallel the second 11 letters, and then you can match the two together. So At connects with Tof, and base connects with Shin, etc. And this is the system. So Toisus explains to us, amazing, this is a Toisus, he tells us that in the Atbash system, if you look at the word Perach, the Pei matches with a Vov, the Resh matches with a Gimel, and the Kaf matches together with a Lamed. And you've got three letters, Vov, Gimel, Lamed. If you add up now the gematria value of Vov, Gimel, Lamed, you get no less than 39. 39, famous 39, Meleches Shabbos, 39. So in the Beforech, you've got tucked away in there throughout Bash, you've got 39 Meleches of Shabbos. So Toisus makes a connection between the two. That Meshabros es Aguf, yes, that Beforech broke the body. And now what we've got is this. That in Mitzrayim, where we had to work, we couldn't keep the 39 Meleches. We couldn't observe the 39 Meleches. We had to do them each day, every day, didn't get a day off. But now that we are redeemed from Mitzrayim, now we can actually carry out observation of the 39 Meleches. And therefore, within the Perach, we have a hint of Shabbos. And therefore, that's why in Kiddush, we should mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it's connected that way, that as soon as we got out of Mitzrayim, we had now the freedom to practice Shabbos as it should. Now, let's go on with that. And may I say that a lot of what I have for this second half is from Rabbi Yisrael David Schlesinger, who is a Rav in Monsey. And when I was there, I made a point of actually going to listen to him. He is a very influential man and gives the most wonderful shiurim. If you have access to his shiurim, they are quite magnificent, I think. So a lot of what I'm saying in this second half of the shiur is from him. So of the four lashoinus of Geula, which is the most that we give emphasis to? Which is the one of the four that we give emphasis to? And I think we will all agree that Vahoytsesi is the one. That although we've got four, the fact is that that we've got the one that ends off with Lokachti, and that is of course a preparation for Matan Torah. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, "Vayisi alechem leilokim v'yadatim ki ani Hashem alekeichem hamoitzi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim." So when the Rebbeinu Shlom is describing the going out of Egypt, he uses the word Hoytsesi. Yeah, and then we have other cases as well. So we got that Tachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. We call it Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the most common sort of form that we mention, Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the Aseres HaDibrois, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoytsesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. So this Hoytsesi recurs many, many times. That is its familiar name. Seems to be the one with most emphasis. And I mentioned already that in the enumeration of the four Lashon HaGeula, the word Sivlois is mentioned twice. And I didn't translate it properly because this is not an easy word. It doesn't just mean hard work. Sivlois means something special. And what I want to present to you is this special meaning of Sivlois, and therefore we get the idea of what we're meant to feel that we've come out of. What have we escaped from? What have we been brought out? So when the Torah says, Vayitzesi eschem mitzivlois Mitzrayim, asher avdu bohem beforech, that it's mefarech eses haguf, hard work. And we are told by one of the Manda Omrim, what is this hard work? What is beforech work? Is it just lifting up heavy rocks? What is it? And we are told, and there's a medrash as well about it, that what they did was, they were mechalef, the work of men for women, and women for men. They changed the work. Women had to do men's work, men had to do women's work, and they changed the times. Work that was done by day, they made them do it at night. Work that was done at night, they made them do it by day. So they famished them around, they mixed them around, and there must have been some sort of policy about this, must have been a reason for it. And the Hagos Maimoni says in Hilchos Avodim, in the Rambam, he says that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you should not, if a person's got a Jewish servant, he mustn't work him beforech. He uses that word again. Hagos Maimoni matches it to the beforech in Mitzrayim. So in the same way that in Mitzrayim we've just translated beforech as meaning swapping work and giving people inappropriate work. So also that mitzvah in the Torah, that if you have a person that's working for you, don't give him inappropriate work. And he says as well that that is swapping and giving women's work and men women's work and men's work, etc. So the fact is this, that if we think about, put ourselves in a position for a moment of Paroi and his thinking. What was he thinking? That's the expression. So he's doing this and giving the Eden this sort of work, which is inappropriate. Now, if you're running a business, you know that what you like to do is get workers who are absolutely suited for the job, have the right CV, etc., and can do the work in the most efficient way. That's what we normally do to run a business, to get maximum benefit out of your workers. You know, give them work which they can do properly, easily, efficiently, etc. So therefore, what Paroi was doing was the most inefficient manner of running the business in Mitzrayim. He's got a building company, which he had, right? The whole country was basically a building unit, and he was putting workers that were completely unsuited to do that work. He would be running the company in the most inefficient manner you could think of. And therefore, if he wanted to organize it because he wanted the results of the production, then he wouldn't have done it this way. He wouldn't have done it this way to be so inefficient. The fact that he chooses to do it in the most inefficient way means he wanted nothing. Actually, he needed nothing, wanted nothing. He just wanted to oppress the Yidden. That was the idea. And there is a purpose why he wanted to oppress the Yidden, because the idea is that if a person has been, or has a grandfather or an ancestor that has seen Yaakov, seen the Shvatim, and been among the sort of early part of Klal Yisrael, such a person who has been through such an experience could never be made into a slave. You cannot subjugate a person who is noble, who's got some dignity, etc. You can't subdue him to being a slave. How did Paroi go about it? He went about it by making sure that his whole program was to degrade the Jewish people, to take away their dignity. And he did that by giving him the swapping of the work, etc. And that takes away a person's feeling of himself. And you can't subjugate a Yid. So you first got to break his spirit. You must be mashpil him. You must lower him in mental terms, and you must humiliate him. When you humiliate a person sufficiently, then you can subjugate him and put him to work. So the idea of Paroi was to subjugate the Yidden in such a way, in an undignified way, and that's what, otherwise, what is the point of discussing the detail of this? How does it apply? The idea is that we can always, and Rabbi Dessler does this frequently, he takes a general subject and then applies it to the person. And he says, this is actually how the Yetzer Hara works as well. And on an individual basis, having understood what Paroi was after, and he represents the Yetzer Hara, as the Sforim tell us, Paroi is the symbol of the Yetzer Hara. So this is how the Yetzer Hara works with us as individuals. That, of course, he would never suggest something to us which is unthinkable. It's unthinkable, we wouldn't ever entertain it. What he does is actually degrades us in certain ways, and he calls it novel b'shus ha-Torah. It's a lot of the Ramban in the Torah. Novel b'shus ha-Torah. We can do all sorts of things, and it's mutter, right? Actually, officially, it's mutter. But a person shouldn't be doing certain things. And if a person does this to excess, he becomes a novel b'shus ha-Torah. And once a person is a novel b'shus ha-Torah, then he slides into other things which are really awesome. And that's exactly how the Yetzer Hara works, in a sort of slippery slope. He gets us that way. So beforech, drag him down, as we've translated that, drag him down from his chashivas, and then we can discuss averus. Person has been brought down from his chashivas, he doesn't think of himself as anybody that is responsible anymore, because the Yetzer has convinced him that it's okay, then of course we can start discussing the real business. And this pasuk that we keep repeating, v'yavidu Mitzrayim es me'esor beforech, that Chazal tell us that they swapped the work, and the idea was, as mentioned, that to degrade the Eden and so get them to do things against their normal proclivity, against their normal inclinations, and Voitseisi Eschem Itachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, And the Sfasema says the following, that the got it from the Chedush Yerim, of course, as we know, an ancestor, got to this stage, B'nai Yisrael, and this word Sivlois, which I purposely didn't translate before, it's also related to the word Soivel. Soivel means to be able to tolerate something. Toleration. Tachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. And that means that we are in a place sometimes where we see the goyim around us, they don't have our standards, and we're quite happy to tolerate, you know, the people around. We're not revulsed or repulsed in any way by the fact that we see other people behaving in a completely different standard. We can be soivelit, we're okay, we're very tolerant. And of course, in a country like this, tolerance is a great miler. Country like Britain respects the idea of toleration. But on the other hand, from our point of view here, looking at the standards a Yid is supposed to achieve, toleration may not necessarily be the best middah that we should entertain. So in Mitzrayim, they became desensitized. As we know, halol avodah zorah v'halolu, the malachim were complaining that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim was sucked into all sorts of avodah zorah. So they became desensitized to these aberrations, and as far as they're concerned, that's part of normal life. Maybe I don't do it, but the fact is that if other people do it, that's perfectly okay, and that's, so to speak, normal. So civilized, so civilois means to tolerate without being in any way having feelings of objection or repulsion or revulsion, and that was the Egyptian behavior. So the Geula actually began at the moment we began to be uncomfortable with our surroundings. As soon as we weren't feeling so good about it, we weren't so soivel about it anymore, that was the beginning of the Geula. So therefore, when we're talking about the first of the Lashoni Geula, when Sivlois is spelt without a vav, that's the beginning, that's the first spark, where Klal Yisrael realized, you know, you're talking about Geula, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us these messages, Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, etc., there already is a stirring of feeling of discomfort from what we've got so used to and what we're familiar with and what we've tolerated and what we're okay with. There is a spark of rejection of that. By the time we come to Loshen number 4, Velokachti, and now we're already talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam taking us in and we're preparing for Matan Torah, which is what Lokachti is, then we've got civilized with a vav, and that means they really are at a stage, and they've brought themselves up to a stage where they really cannot sort of tolerate this any longer, and they really are resensitized to, you know, object to the behavior of the Mitzrayim, and now we're going to be ready for an actual Geula. So, this is actually the Be'er Yosef, by the way, it mentions this point as well, about Sivlois Mitzrayim and the comparison between the one with a vav and the one without the vav. So when we want to know, are we in Golus? Do I feel Golus? If we want to know any sort of measure, any sort of thermometer about that, measure it by how comfortable are you with a land that you're living in which is not your own, and how comfortable are you with the doings and goings on of the people around you. If you're extremely comfortable about it, then Geula is not on the horizon, Chas v'Shalom. If, on the other hand, we have a certain discomfort about it, that we feel that there are other things, better things, that we should be striving for, and that the country that I live in that may not be practicing the standards that I would expect or respect, and that's what Rashi meant. We had that Rashi at the beginning. Not 3, not 5, Dafka 4. You need all 4 Lashoni Geula. And V'lokachti, you have not recognized the difference between yourselves and the Goyim until the Ribbono Shel Olam took us in. V'lokachti li la'om, and that bechina is mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim, from the toleration that you had of the Goyim and the feelings that you were comfortable there. Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim, not just physically void seisi, but also our mind and our spirit in such a way that those things that the Goyim respected, we no longer respected. We had other standards that we wanted to rise to. So look around ourselves now in our day and age. I don't want to get political, but you can't be malimayin about what's going on in the world. The world has turned on its head in the last 6 months. It used to be a very comfortable position. Yeah, we used to think we are part of society. At least in some ways, we felt part of society. We always knew we were different, because we are always different. But the fact is, we somehow slotted in some place in society. And what we've discovered over the last 6 months is that we don't. Right, they're rising up against us around the world. You'll remember that we started the Megillah, Vayhi Bimeach Hashverosh, and Chazal tell us that Vayhi always means is a harbinger of Peronius. There is some sort of statement here, there is trouble afoot, trouble on the horizon. Vayhi, that's always Vayhi. So what's the trouble in the first pasuk of the Megillah? Vayhi Bimeach Hashverosh, what's troublesome about that? That he had 127 Medinas? That is itself the answer. 127 Medinas at that time represented the whole world, which meant that until now, if the Eden were in trouble in one place, they could run to another place, etc. And this has been going on throughout the ages. But at the time of Megillas Esther, 127 Medinas meant Haman / Achashverosh had dominion over all of them. There was nowhere to run. That's the Peronis. Nowhere to run, nowhere to go in case of trouble. And Kachava, that's exactly what happened. So we are in a situation, I'm afraid, that I don't like to be the harbinger of bad news, but around the world, they are demonstrating, apparently in London last week, there was 1 million people at a demonstration, so-called peace demonstration. They're against us wherever we are. We are in a matzav that the world is against us. We do not have any friends, if we didn't know that before. Am levodot yishkoin uvagoyim loynes chashov. Yishchashov, sorry. And let me tell you the pshat of the Netziv in the few minutes that we've got. He says, it's a bit of a melitza, but you can see that in his wonderful essay in Rinas, in his perish on Shir Shirim. At the back of the Shir Shirim, he's got a special perish, an essay on anti-Semitism. It's absolutely magnificent. And he says this. He says, Am levodod, that if Klal Yisrael will live as Am levodod, if we live alone, and we realize that we are not part of the goyim, not part of the general populace, then yishkoin, then you live in peace. If you realize your difference, and you keep different, you will live in peace. Uva goyim! But if you live like goyim, and want to be part of the goyim, lo yischashov, you will not even be thought of as human. And the predictions that he makes in that essay are amazing. That the Yidden will not be thought of, and this is, he died in 1909, which means that what he was saying was exactly what happened only 30, 40 years later in Nazi Germany. Okay. So we've got to finish off. Lekachti li la'om, and that's the Torah. And I had wanted to just read to you, but I'm out of time, am I? Out of time. Just want to say this, Medrash and Shir Shirim tells us, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim? There are certain things that the Medrash enumerates that we didn't have any Masim Tovim, worshipping of Avodah Zorah, and all sorts of things to prevent us being redeemed from Mitzrayim. Why? The Medrash says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. He wanted it. That's the reason. Chefetz Hashem. That's why we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, not for any merit that we did. That Rabbanu wanted it, and it was time for the Gula. May it be time for the Gula. Menissen, Le'asidim, Le'goel. May all Klal Yisrael have a Gula Shlema Bekorim.